Hello, I'm Trevor Dann. On this edition of the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk, innovation in radio, past and present. Radio Player's Mike Hill is on the line to tell us about new developments in voice-activated radio, and Dave Wilkinson remembers how he set up the very first phone-in on UK radio. We've got radio moments and the latest news too. But first, Alexa, find Mike Hill at UK Radio Player.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Hi, Trevor. Yes, I'm here. Alexa has found me.
Excellent. Thank you, Mike. Now, this is all very exciting. We've all got used to the idea now that we can say, you know, hello, Google or Alexa, and hello, Radio Player, give me Radio 5 Live, Sports Extra, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You've announced some new things now. I want to ask you, first of all, before we come on to that, talk to me about Sonos and show me what it can do.
Yeah, so the main new thing that we've just done is integrated with the Sonos platform. Sonos is a multi-room speaker system that you can install around your house, and it works with your Wi-Fi. It sounds great, which is why I really love it, because I'm an audiophile. If you pick up a Sonos speaker, you know, they're really heavy. You can tell that there's lots of magnets and coils and good stuff in there. So that's one of the reasons we wanted to do it, because actually it makes radio sound really good. We know that there are now millions of these devices installed around the world. Radio Player is now a multinational operation. We've got Radio Player in 8 countries. And many of the partner countries were clamoring for us to do a Sonos integration. So that's why we decided to do it. What you have to do is open up the Sonos app on your phone, which I'm just about to do, and then you can scroll all the station lists, the A to Z station list, or you can look through your recommended stations, which look at what's local to you, what's trending, and that sort of thing. And it one tap and it should play. There we go. Now that's a bit of BBC Radio 3, and I'm happy to say that that is in superlative quality. BBC send us the highest bitrate streams they have available. So this is a 320 kilobit HLS stream. So for the audio nerds amongst you, that's sounding really, really good in this room. I'm just going to stop.
So that's better, Mike, than FM, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, better is all very subjective. But I think it's probably a more direct route to my ears from the studio than FM is, because FM does go through quite a bit of processing and picks up a bit of background noise on the way. So, yeah, I think it's sounding pretty damn good. That's all I can say.
And how quickly can you get from Radio 3 to, let me give you a test here, to Absolute?
Oh, my goodness. Right, well, Absolute, I'm just scrolling through the list there. One tap and it's starting with an ad. Because Bauer are now doing the
Our new BMW iPerformance range delivers all the style.
So I'm going to stop that. Because Bauer are now doing the excellent monetization trick of playing targeted programmatic audio pre-roll on the top of their streams. But that was Absolute Radio, starting with an ad. So,
but nevertheless, it was very quick, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. It's one. It's scrolling a list of beautiful logos, one tap and you're in. You can, and also the great thing is that all the radio player data is submitted to the Sonos search engine. So if anyone's searching for anything in Sonos and it's on the radio or it's been on the radio, the radio bubbles up for you to play. So we're sort of getting radio in front of more people in that way.
Now, let me ask you a question about Alexa. We've talked about this on this podcast. I've used it for some while now, just saying, hello, Alexa, give me, you know, Radio 4. And it just says Radio 4 from TuneIn. But now I can use Radio Player. But what it does with me is it says, as soon as I say, Alexa, find Radio Player, it just plays me the thing that I was listening to last time. What language should I be using?
Yeah, so at the moment, if you just say start Radio Player or find Radio Player or talk to Radio Player, it will act like a radio and play the last station you listened to on Radio Player. But if you say Alexa, ask radio player to play Radio 4, then it will play the station you've just asked for. Now, I agree, it is a slightly clunky thing, but you only have to remember it once, and then after that it becomes second nature.
And does Google work the same way?
Google Home, which is the new sort of home speaker system from Google, has similar kind of integration with TuneIn. So if you ask for something directly, you'll get it on TuneIn. But if you ask for a BBC station, you'll get it played from the BBC, not through TuneIn. So different platforms work in different ways, and we're still working out how best to complement what's happening elsewhere on that platform with radio players' presence. We're not on there yet.
And what about Chromecast?
Chromecast is a very cheap Google dongle that people have plugged into their TVs to allow them to cast to the screen from their laptops and from their mobiles. And that it's we think it's got massive penetration now in the UK. So we've decided to make radio player compatible with it. So I'm going to close the Sonos app on my phone. I'm going to open the radio player app on my phone. So this is the normal radio player app. And I'm going to press the casting button, which sends anything that I play on my radio player app, not through the teeny little speakers on my iPhone, but through my beautiful soundbar underneath my telly. So when I press play, let's see what happens. I'm pressing play on Capital London. And so the screen is refreshing. And here's some little mix coming out the speakers. I'm just going to turn that up so you can hear. Now that's sounding really good as well, because I've got a sound bar under my telly, and you know that is sounding much better than a tranny would sound. But also on the screen at the moment, I can see the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 tracks played by Capital London, what's playing right now on Capital London, and all the tweets and Facebook posts recently from Capital London. So, you know, it's turning radio into a really visual experience.
Do I still need a DAB radio, Mike?
You certainly do in your car. I think a massive role for broadcast radio, particularly digital broadcast radio, on the move, because internet connectivity is very, very patchy there. And in the home as well, lots of people's Wi-Fi isn't really up to this sort of thing yet. I think the UK is actually starting to lag behind the rest of the digital world, and we need to get our act together. So I think there is very much a role for DAB and FM in the medium term. One day, most people agree, it's a bit like climate change this, there are always people who are on the edge of the debate, but in the long term, most people agree that one day the internet will carry all media. The only question is, how far away is that day?
Always great to talk to you, Mike. Thanks very much indeed. And as I would say to Alexa, Mike Hill, stop.
Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Now, some pioneering work of a very different kind. I've been spending the past few weeks talking to some of the people who set up the BBC's first 8 local radio stations in 1967 and 68. It's for a documentary which is going out on all 40 of the current stations to celebrate the 50th anniversary in November. Now, on the course of my travels, I heard this, which I thought I'd like to share with you. Dave Wilkinson ended his career as managing editor of BBC Radio Lincolnshire, but in 1967 he was a programme assistant, we'd call them producers nowadays, at the fledgling BBC Radio Nottingham. It was there that he worked out how you could put telephone callers on air. The first experiment was a programme called What Are They Up To Now, where listeners could put their questions to local council leaders. Here's how it worked.
We were supplied with equipment. It was called a telebalance unit. It was a proper piece of equipment that sat on a rack on a bay, 19 inches wide, and it had various little boxes that made it up in modules. This was provided so that a reporter in the field could ring in on an ex-directory phone line, and you could put that through onto a tape recorder and record that report from your reporter. That was its intention. And what I managed to figure out was that by plugging it in the right way, you could do a live phone in. All you really needed was to be able to talk from the studio to the person at the other end of the phone and get the output coming from the box onto the desk and not let it all howl round, which is that whee noise that you get when sounds go in circles. And so the system was that you took the incoming X directory line, and these are done with plugs, cords with a plug on each end that go into sockets, right? People more often see them in old telephone exchanges. You took one from the socket that was marked with the telephone line incoming. You put that into a parallel strip, which is a line of jacks that were all connected together at the back. You then came out of that parallel strip and went to the input of the telebalance unit. You also came out of that parallel strip and went over the 600 ohm jack, which put a load on the line, which meant you didn't have to have a phone off the hook. So you didn't get any howl rounds in the studio. But you didn't plug that in until you'd established the call. Once you'd established the call, you pushed that in and that locked the call. It stayed on the line and you could hang the phone up. The output of the telebalance unit you put through into the socket that went to the spare channel on the desk you were using. But the thing to remember is that above every channel, the faders that were along, there was a little switch that was marked A, AB, and B. And it was a crude form of early stereo. Well, we didn't even have stereo. But all the switches were left in the AB position, which meant that the desk had two outputs, an A output and a B output. But the channel that you were using for the telephone, you switched to A only. You could then take the B output of the desk, which wasn't being used for anything else. The A output was going to the transmitter. So the B output you put back into the listen jack on the input of the telebalance unit. This then fed Q back down the line, and they could hear what you were talking about. And there was actually an electronic buffer between those two jacks so that any volts coming up the line couldn't get back into the desk. And it just happened to be there conveniently to stop people getting electric shocks. And that's how you do a telephone in life programme.
So, piece of cake then. Dave Wilkinson remembering 1967. There'll be more like that on BBC Local Radio in November. Meanwhile, back to the future on the Radio Today programme. Well, the present at least. Here's Radio Today News with Stu.
Thank you, Trevor. This week, digital radio was celebrated at the now annual summer reception held on the rooftop terrace at Global in Leicester Square. Ford Enels told us 20 million homes and 10 million cars now have access to digital radio. And we also heard at the event from the LBC boss, James Rea, and the station's latest signing, Nigel Farage.
I'm a self-confessed radio nut. I have been all my life. I love radio. I love talk radio. I've been an LBC listener since 1978. And that's back to the days of Jeremy Beadle and the Bob and Doug show, when it was very much a London, you know, and South East regional show. Although I have to confess, and James hates this, but LBC is not my favourite radio station or programme. Test Match Special still has the edge.
Listeners in Leicestershire have better coverage from this week, meanwhile, with four new DAB transmitters turned on to improve digital radio for 250,000 people in the county. Bauer's Kiss Fresh has gone national for the summer on the D1 digital multiplex. Kiss PD Andy Roberts has called it a new golden era for urban music. Mansfield 103.2 has gone public after being regularly interrupted by a pirate broadcaster. Someone with a powerful transmitter has been playing an obscene novelty song on the station's frequency in the town and has done it more than 12 times in 3 months. Ofcom and the station are investigating. Sheffield Community Station Iman FM has had its licence suspended for 3 weeks after broadcasting lectures by an alleged Al-Qaeda leader. Ofcom says the material went out on air during Ramadan and was likely to incite or encourage crime or lead to disorder. Darlington and Durham Station, Star North East, which almost shut down earlier this year, is changing its name. Its new owner, View TV Group, says it's going to rebrand the station as Rather Good Radio from the 1st of August. It's also announced plans for Rather Good Extra on DAB in North Yorkshire. And tributes have been paid this week to Paul Hollingdale, who's died aged 79. He was the first presenter on Radio 2 doing Breakfast Special on the 30th of September 67, and he'd also been on the Light programme, Radio Luxembourg and Forces Radio before that. Paul went on to work at stations including BBC Radio Brighton, Radio 210 in Reading and Blue Danube Radio in Vienna. And as always, there's more news every day of the week at radiotoday.co.uk.
Thank you, Stu Clarkson. David Lloyd after this.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
This week, 2 years ago, the BBC's chart show moved to Fridays.
Good afternoon. It's Friday, the 10th of July, 2015. It's 4 o'clock. This is BBC Radio 1, and welcome to the exciting new sound of the official chart with Greg James for the first time ever on a Friday. Welcome to a new era for the official chart and the entire music industry. Today, we have 6 new entries, 2 big climbers, but the question is, will there be a brand new number one?
The start of the chart on Fridays this week in 2015 and the end of that Sunday chart ritual. At the BBC, at least, how we'd loved it. Let's remember all Radio 1's regular Sunday evening hosts, shall we? Here we go.
To hear the climbers between 20 and 30 and the top 20 in its entirety, tune in to Pick of the Pops with Alan Freeman between 5 and 7 every Sunday.
It's me again, Alan Freeman, and Sunday at 4 means Pick of the Pops. But Radio 2 pop pickers, it's Saturday at 5, which means it's the very last Pick of the Pops on the live programme.
First week in the top 20, second time around for Hi-Ho Silver Lining from Jeff Beck. And that's
number 19.
It's a top 20 entry.
And goodbye and good night. The Boomtown Rats are down one place to
number 2.
And on this week's chart, 6 new entries, 13 go down, 16 on the way up, and 5 non-movers. And down from number 36 to this week's
number 40.
And welcome to listeners on VHF who've just joined Radio 1, not only for the top 40, but also for the rest of the evening as well. Don't forget you can hear the nation's top chart show in super stereo on VHF.
Swinging through the trees and climbing the charts, Baltimora is up to number 5 with Tarzan Boy.
OK, here's your first countdown from numbers 40 to 30. And straight in at number 40, come on, come on, Bronski Beat.
Good afternoon, this is Mark Goodyear for Bruno Brooks with the UK Top 40. The up-to-the-minute information is just in from Gallup headquarters, making the new Top 40 the world's fastest and most accurate chart.
Shane Ritchie, I'm your man on Radio 1.
The official chart show.
New entry.
Radio 1's chart show.
With JK.
Here it is then, the complete countdown, 40 to the UK's number one.
The official chart.
The official chart. BBC.
Radio 1.
Look how serious they look. Now, if you are a fan of One Direction.
It's Sunday, it's 4 o'clock, I'm Jamila Jamil, and this is the UK's only official chart.
So there you have it. That was your official 10 to 2. On Radio 1, it's Clara Anfo here, not alone in the studio. Kel Spellman, how are you, my friend?
Very well, thank you, Clara. A bit emotional.
The memories of getting your PE kit ready for school and enjoying the hits, and in my generation, recording them very carefully on an Asda C60 cassette. Since the change to Fridays, by the way, I noticed that Radio 1's average half-hourly audience on a Sunday has fallen quite a bit, but commercial radio hasn't grown. It's 4 years since we lost Douglas Stewart. He'd been the first presenter of The World Tonight on Radio 4. And what did Douglas have to say about today's interviewers?
They're much more argumentative. And they make, I think, great mistake in asking 3 questions rolled into one. And that enables the man to pick whichever of the 3 questions he wants to answer. They don't think enough about getting the man to hang himself, or the woman for that matter, let them say what they want to say, because the listener is not a fool. They know what it is about. I used to think, I'm talking to one person and one person only, not to listeners.
So many great broadcasters make that very point, don't they? So I'm always puzzled as to why presenters on huge radio stations start talking about many of you and them and out there and all that rubbish. Wise words from Douglas Stewart. He died this week in 2013. This week, 14 years ago, a change of mind at the BBC. The Director General announced the launch of a new service for Coventry and Warwickshire. It said the closure of the original one in 1995 hadn't been a terribly good idea.
The Warwick and Leamington Conservative MP Sir Dudley Smith says the BBC has made a huge mistake with its plans to merge CWR with the Birmingham-based Radio WM. The changes are expected to happen at the end of May or early June, although detailed plans haven't been worked out yet. But Sir Dudley says the move will leave people in his constituency without a voice because they have nothing in common with Birmingham.
I think it's very serious indeed, and I'm amazed at the BBC. They've been protesting for so long that they want to localise broadcasting, they want to get it more and more local, they want the right kind of responses from local communities, and they know as well as anybody that once you start going outside of about 15 to 20 yards, 20 miles radius, it no longer becomes local.
The beginning of the end of the first BBC station in Coventry in Warwickshire, as we mark 14 years since they announced its dedicated station was to return. 30 years ago, in challenging times, the commercial radio regulator, then the IBA, was of the view that some areas really couldn't sustain their own services, but they might be wisely bolted on to other areas. And so, this week, Beacon, in Wolverhampton and the Black Country, spread its wings to the highly complimentary Shropshire.
The 14th of July, 1987. That's the day that Beacon Radio comes to Shropshire, from Oswestry Street to Church Stretton, from Much Wenlock to Newport, in Shrewsbury, Wellington, Telford, Chifnall and Bridge North. The new Beacon Radio service for Shropshire will bring you your own programmes, news and travel and sport, the latest hits and the greatest music memories, and your chance to win in some fantastic competitions.
Happy birthday to Commercial Radio in Shropshire. It's now free radio. So, with Harrowood launching in Peterborough 37 years ago.
Good morning, you're listening to Harrowood Radio, broadcasting on 225 metres. In the medium wave, that's 1332 kilohertz.
And the beginnings of Radio Pembrokeshire 15 years ago.
An hour that will change life in Pembrokeshire for the better, forever.
Those are this week's Radio Moments. Radio
Thanks this week to David Lloyd, Stu Clarkson, Dave Wilkinson and Michael Hill. This has been a TDC production for Radio Today. There'll be more next week. Hope you can join us for that. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.